I know the Bible says, when you've done all you can to stand, just stand. I know that it's hard sometimes to look through these tear-stained eyes and still see the scars in those hands. Just you keep this in mind, when hope seems so hard to find, surely you've not reached the end. When this whole world has let you down, Jesus can still be found. If you tried it all, look to him. Look to him for the only, when sorrow makes lonely all the days, when the night closes in. He can valleys of midnight and call back the sunlight. So I know that questions can, they can get so hard to understand, but then, you see, I know someone who knows it all. He can see that little sparrow fall, he can hold back the sea with just one hand. He's so big he rides on the breeze that blows, yet in your heart there's only one that knows the heartaches and all the trouble you're in. And when life seems everything but good, remember him, cause he's the only one that could. If you'd only dare look to him, look to him for the only, when sorrow makes lonely all the days, when the night closes in. He can valleys the midnight and call back the sunlight. So how will it end? Look to him. He can valleys of midnight and call back the sunlight. So how will it end? Look to in a far and distant land. Two rusty nails pierced two precious hands. There a man named Jesus for silver was sold on an old rugged cross. The great love story was told. He cried, "It is finished." Then a world heard the sound, marking ground, the master plan for living on Mount Calvary engraved. Such expression of love is salvation today. Story, I love you, was written in blood. Rivers of mercy was flowing between two thieves, was a son. The ransom was paid for every man's soul. On an old rugged cross, the great love story was told. Oh, oh, what a story. I love you was written in blood. Rivers of mercy was flowing between two thieves, was a son. The ransom was paid for every man's soul. On an the great love story was told. On an old rugged cross, the great love story was told. Something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Brother Jake. First song, I don't reckon I've ever heard that. That was some good words in that song. It really was. Glad to see you. I trust you had a wonderful day. We were blessed with mid-80s instead of 150 or 175, whatever it's been running here lately. It's been a little bit warm. Be much in prayer. Sister Hilda is just having a tough time. If you get an opportunity to pray for her, but go by and see if you possibly can. Sister Ruby is having a tough time. You pray for her. I tell you what, the aging process is a painful thing. It's very tough. So remember Brother Ray in your prayers. Faye Patterson, remember her in your prayers also. She's missed a little bit, and hopefully she'll be back soon, but you pray for her. Good to have you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I hope you brought your Bible. We're going to read in the book of Acts tonight. I want to start reading in the 25th chapter, 25th chapter of the book of Acts. Don't forget revival. Going to be here not next week, but the following week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So keep that in mind. Invite folks to come out and be with us. Be here yourself. That's to be the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing in the world. The book of Acts, chapter 25. You know, if I was to have the time, the two or three chapters right in here, the Apostle Paul spent more time in prison than it seemed like out of prison, especially in jail than he spent out, in bonds than he spent out. You know what me and you do? Me and you, Billy, ain't complain. We cry, woe is me. We say, what did I do wrong? All the many things that we would complain about, man, that ain't the way Paul worked. He had a testimony even in that. He affected so many people because of his strength. You know, true strength comes whenever you're challenged. You take Samson. You think, well, whenever he was challenged, well, he failed a challenge. But his true strength didn't come till later on. He had raw strength at the beginning. That raw strength come from that Nazirite vow. But the true strength was right there at the end, you know? We sometimes need to be challenged. Everything going smooth, we don't pray a lot. Mm-mm. Everything going smooth, we don't read a lot. But when the true test of time, when it seemed like the devil raises his head and jumps right straddle of you, that's when you call on God. That's when you get serious about reading. That's when your knees is being used for the right purpose. Because whenever we trust Him, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Friend, He is right there. I want you to read with me, and I'm not going to read a whole lot at all. I want you to listen just to some things that are being said. First of all, I want to pick up verse 7. You think I'm crazy, but I want you to listen to this. When He was come, the Jews came down from Jerusalem, and they stood round about. Now, they're talking to these government leaders, okay? And they stood round about, and they laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. No matter what they said, they couldn't prove them. And they tried to fabricate it. In other words, they would lie on him. That would be the way I'd say it. And they lied on him, but when it come down to proving it, it's like in any court, the lawyers can say about anything at certain times. But if you're really going to prove something, you better have the facts to back it up. I never could quite understand that last little summation thing that they do. They can just say about just anything they want. I think, well, that ain't true. But they say about just anything they want to say, it seems like. And it seems like nobody scolds them, nobody gets on. Friend, if you don't have any truth to say, what's the sense in talking? Listen, the devil will say about anything. He can't back it up. He ain't got nothing to back it up with. Let me skip down to verses number 12. Then Felix, when he had conferred with counsel, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar?" That's a question. Then it says, "Unto Caesar thou shalt go." Now we know who that is, but let's go on. "And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king." Get that one more time. Make sure I heard that right. "Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." Let's just stop reading. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. I pray you'll help us, God. Move upon us as you see fit. Most of all, touch hearts. God, we know there's many needs, but God, we know you'll supply. And I pray you'll help us move upon us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever this was kind of a secondhand story, what I mean by that, Paul didn't have anything to say when his cause was presented. Paul wasn't the one doing the talking. And whenever you are accountable for the words you say, I'm accountable. I'm accountable for the things I say, the things I do, and you are accountable. Now you might say, well, it really don't matter what man thinks about me. I didn't say accountable to man, because being accountable to man is one thing, and if somebody don't like it, you can say, well, I don't care, and you go right on. But when you're accountable to God, there's a difference. Now, we know according to the Bible, we're accountable for the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad. We like that part, don't we? We like the good part. We don't care for the bad. But we like to hear, oh, I think that'll give me some credit when I get to heaven, you know, stuff like that. Oh, there'll be a bigger mansion for me because I did this right here. I don't know of anybody that talks that way. I don't know of anybody that whenever they're a part of, and when I say a part of, witnessing to people and they get saved, you know, really, that ain't us.
That's just telling them what God wants us to do. But if we took credit for that, boy, that'd be wrong. We have no part or lot in it. Jesus does the saving. We're just an instrument we hopefully that God can use. But in reality, are we accountable? Friend, I want to tell you something. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. So what there are some benefits to being accountable. But this man was not presenting the case about himself. He was presenting the case for the Apostle Paul. He stood for him. Now, if you read a little bit of the history behind it, you might think, well, how much did he stand for him? And what kind of advantage would it be to have him to speak? Well, what I want to talk to you tonight is in verses 19. And I want you to listen carefully to verses 19. But had certain, I don't like reading in the middle, but I want to read just in the middle. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Now let me say that one more time. Here's a feller. We're talking about not Paul saying this, but he heard from Paul. He heard him tell about it. He heard to him say about it. And he said, talks about one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Now, when he said he affirmed to be alive, that meant when Paul spoke about Jesus, when Paul talked about what Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he had some persuasion about him. He believed in a resurrected Jesus. You see, a true believer can testify about the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ. A true believer. Now, you'll get a lot of these characters on the television, and they got all kinds of fantastic ways to prosper. They got all kinds of fantastic ways to build up the church and make it a whole lot bigger than it was. They got all kinds of ways to make it soothing, make it sounding, and just get everybody to show up. But friend of mine, when you really believe in something, you don't have to talk about the ways of building how many steps it is to build a great church. You don't have to talk about, oh, I'm just so glad to see you. Butter's running off you because how much I like to see you. We don't have to do all that. Friend, when we come to the house of God, it's not to be seen or be seen of somebody. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come because we want to come, and we want to be affirmed that we want to tell about Jesus because he's resurrected. There's a difference, isn't it? It's a difference when you come to church that way. It's a joy when you come to church and you want to talk about Jesus instead of yourself. Now, if you talk about yourself, I'm going to get bored in about 30, 45 seconds. And that's being liberal with my 45 seconds, okay? I really don't want to hear about you, and you really don't want to hear about me. But boy, when you start talking about Jesus, it kind of puts something inside your heart. It puts something there. Now, he said that, but really, do people believe when I tell you that Jesus is alive? Do people believe that when I tell you that Jesus is alive? Do people really believe when you're serious, whenever you say, friend, I am being right there at the tomb. The tomb's empty. Now, I can say that. Many others have said it around this world. But that's not the proof in the pudding. That's not what makes me know he's resurrected. Because let me tell you something. We can go down to the cemetery, and we can dig us a hole, and we can wait a little. We can get us a tombstone and put some fictitious name up there and go back 6 months later and say, look here, look down in this hole. He ain't here. There's his name, but he ain't here. That ain't no proof. That ain't nothing. That's a fabricated story. I could go in there and say, look here. Let's go over at Jerusalem and say, whoa, that was a good man that probably was buried in this. That ain't no story. That is not persuasion. That's not belief. But when you tell a story, do people believe you when you say Jesus is resurrected? Now, what do you do? What do you give as your proof? What do you give? Now, I want to tell you, just going and visiting the graveyard, that's not enough proof. The disciples, on the day that Jesus resurrected, on the day that he resurrected, there was only a couple of them in a hurry to go run down to the tomb. Now, if they really believed it, it ought to have been a herd running down there. Them 11 rascals ought to have seen how quick they could run and how quick they'd get to. You know why? It's very difficult for us to believe in miracles. Especially a miracle that had not been performed on this magnitude. Oh yes, when Jesus resurrected Lazarus, that was a wonderful thing. It's great that he can call somebody back from the dead. And we could believe that as long as Jesus did it. But when we see Jesus die and bleed and die on Calvary's cross, and we sit there and we know that he's bled out, we know all this and he was nailed there, and we actually physically saw that body on that cross, and we say, there is no way that he's alive. In fact, we know he's sealed in that tomb. In fact, he ain't getting out. There's no way. And we're just going on about our business. But friend, when that word came on that day, they were persuaded that he had come, especially when Jesus appeared to the disciples the very first time when he appeared to all of them. You remember them two rascals going down the road one day and all of a sudden this fellow was walking with them, and all of a sudden they just felt something different, and listen to what they had to say. He said, did our hearts burn within us? When they were having that conversation with that fellow, did not our hearts burn within us? Friend, whenever you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you, whenever you see him, I don't care about the face-to-face stuff, the eyeball to eye. Whenever you see him with your heart and you know it's Jesus, whenever he has hit you right down between the eyes and you feel it right where you need to feel it, you know that Jesus is still alive. That's a persuasion. But how do you persuade others? How do you persuade others? Is it just saying the words? Is it just trying to say, well, I believe this is a good story. Now, if you read this Bible that we got here, there are some problems. Verse 22, and you don't have to read this. Listen, Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Now that may not sound like much. But if you're told about Jesus being resurrected, remember, they're trying to say, now this is what's going on. Paul tells a story about Jesus. He's alive. Now, if you're dealing with folks that's not saved, it's a different tune. It's a different tune. Folks that are not saved have a problem believing this Bible. Folks that are not saved have a problem believing the Holy Spirit of God. Folks that are not saved sure don't believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ being able to resurrect from the dead. How in the world do you persuade the world? Listen, the message has got to be as strong and as firm as John the Baptist said, if you don't repent, you bunch of snakes, you're headed for a devil's hell. We don't change our message to suit the people. The message remains the same. We'll always preach the word that Jesus died for our sins and resurrected on that third day, and will come and call us as born again children of God. Come and call us home, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That message will never change. I've heard that message all of my life. And friend, I hope that you, as long as you live, you hear that same message. You don't hear it very often. But friend, we ought to hear that same message. No matter who's telling it, we need to hear the same message. Listen. He said, I think it's about time I hear from that man myself. I would also like to hear the man myself. If somebody says something like that to me, now Paul ain't heard. He ain't heard the middle part. He don't know what's going on. Paul, he's off over yonder. He's in chains. He's in wherever. He's off over yonder. Here's a good thing. You don't have to be present with the trouble, because this was trouble. You don't have to be present with the trouble to have something to say. You don't have to know what your enemy or what the devil or what everybody else has been talking about. You see, the best time to talk about the preacher, best time, is not in his presence. You can talk bad about the preacher all you want to every day of the week, twice on Sunday. Help yourself. Just don't let the preacher hear it. And when the preacher gets to church, don't worry. His feelings ain't going to be hurt. You ain't got to worry about it. Because God's the one that hears everything. And when God hears it, friend, all of a sudden gets a message and it's like, what in the world? How am I going to say something like, and you just spit it out there. Boy, God knows how to send that word home. He knows how to, friend, Paul didn't even hear what was going on. But friend, there's going to be some important things coming from Paul's mouth. Because he is persuaded. He knows that Jesus has resurrected. He knows that he's alive. Friend, did he see it with his own eyes? No, not in the physical eyes. But he did hear about that resurrected Jesus. He did see that bright light on that sunny day, but it was a whole lot brighter light. He knew that God had met him. And friend, when you know that you have met God, it will change you in here. You can't see God and not have a change. Might be for the bad. Rich young ruler saw Jesus run up to him. But because his eyes were somewhere instead of Jesus' eyes, and his heart was somewhere with Jesus' heart, he ran away grieved because he had great possession. In other words, he ran away lost. God's not going to save you just because you know him. God's not going to save you just because you follow him. Ask Judas. God will save you whenever you ask him. Listen. So we've got a feller that wants to bring Paul. Now we got a feller that here that wants to look at him, hear him for himself. Now Agrippa's got, listen, in the 26th chapter, just one verse. It's kind of crazy, but listen. Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Verse 2. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself." Now, I know, do people believe that I can tell everyone that Jesus is alive? Now, listen. Do leaders of our nation believe that Jesus is alive? Now, I'm talking right now. Do people of that are leading our nation believe that Jesus is alive? I believe if they did, they'd go to their Bible instead of something else. All right? I believe they'd try to do good to fellow man instead of trying to do some of the things that they do. I believe they wouldn't lie, cheat, steal if they believed in Jesus. I believe they'd try to go to church for reality instead of show. I believe there'd be a whole lot of changes going on in Washington and in Montgomery and every other capital around here, even in the city of Moulton. If people believed in Jesus, they would change their tune and if he was alive. Now friend, if Jesus is not real, hey, if that's the truth, we are of all men most miserable. But I really, really, really believe that he has resurrected. In fact, I am persuaded. Watch this. So this verse 2 says, all right, I get to answer for myself. This day before thee, touching all the things I am accused of. Skip on down if you're even following me. Listen, verse 19, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Now here's the difference that makes leaders of our country kind of go back and forth. There's actually leaders of our churches that'll go back and forth because of this heavenly vision. Now I'm a firm believer that God can give you a heavenly vision. I really do.
Now you say, well, preacher, you're one of those seeking after those big things. Let me tell you, I'm not one of those that's going to cry out and say, oh, look, I've got a special blessing. I've heard special blessing all of my life. Friend, I'm not. What he does for you, he'll do for me, all right? All right, that's a firm thing. But listen, God can let you see things. God can let you hear things. Some of the greatest messages you'll ever hear in your life is the one message that God sends you. And when God sends you that message, it might not be from the Apostle Paul. It might be through Festus. It might be through Felix. It might be through Agrippa. Because we're going to see in a minute that things didn't always work the way we want them to work. But they still work out. Just because folks are given the opportunity to the Word, we can't guarantee the results. The Word hasn't changed. God don't change. Salvation don't change. People do. This scripture, this story, talks about a heavenly vision, heavenly sights. When the Apostle Paul spoke of that road to Damascus story, when he relayed, friend, it was almost like he shined like Moses did. He was different. Man, he could talk in words, persuading words. Those persuading words are the one you experience. The day you get saved, man, when you get saved, you tell folks, I got saved. And it's like, I couldn't say that beforehand. I felt a whole lot different beforehand. I felt trouble and all kinds. Man, there's all kinds of shame and disgrace, all kinds of misery. But friend, it seemed like when God saves your soul, it seems like a burden. And you didn't even really know what a burden was. It seemed like a weight. You really didn't know what a weight. It seemed like your sin was gone and you didn't know how to explain it. Salvation does that. Seeing God does that. Seeing, you can't explain that kind of heavenly vision. Watch this, now watch. So he says to them, and he gives that experience of how the Lord met him, talked to him, told him what to do, all of those things. As long as Paul lived, he said the story on that day. It was a light brighter than the noonday sun. That's a testimony in it. That's a testimony when you can say, man, I saw the light. Friend, when you was in that light, you saw that light. Now watch this. Me and you may not have had that same experience, but we have saw the light if we've been saved. He is the light of the world. Now, when I hear Paul say that, I can say amen. You know why? Because that little light that lies within me is the same light that lies within Paul. And when he testifies of it, now listen, watch this right here. Have you ever heard one of them presidents that does all the bad things, but you ever heard them want to use a Bible verse? It may be the Word, but it almost don't sound like the Word. Or it may be not the president, maybe it's some government leader who wants to give you a Bible verse. And when you hear it, it don't sound like the Word. It just seems like words out of a heathen's mouth, a lost person's mouth, doesn't sound the same. Now listen, you remember when Jesus was tempted of the devil? The devil would like to use those scriptural verses close. He told Eve in the garden. It was just close. It wasn't verbatim word for word type thing.
But it was close. And whenever the devil speaks and whenever man speaks and when man testifies about God and him not being saved, there's a difference in the persuasion. How many pulpits across America are filled with wolves in sheep's clothing? We're seeing it because folks think if they go to seminary, they can preach. And that's wrong. It's great to have an education. Great to be able to say, I've got a doctorate degree. But don't call yourself a doctor just to make somebody happy in the church house. It is not because you got a title in front of your name. If we're not telling the story of Jesus, what's the sense in talking? It's like a lost man trying to persuade folks about a resurrected Jesus just like Paul did. Let me hurry. And it got down to Agrippa. Now, we can kind of say we talked a little bit about Festus and Felix and all that, but let's get down to where this true message, and we don't have the time to read it all, but listen to what verse 27 says. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Now, if you was to ask right there, real quick, if you was to ask old King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? Do you know of folks back in the olden days? You know, have you heard? Oh yeah, I know about them folks. Agrippa said unto Paul, there wasn't no in between person. Agrippa said unto Paul, here's the one we know. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. It's funny. When you're given the opportunity to hear from one of the great preachers in the Bible and you turn him down, who's going to persuade you? Years and years ago when I was a young preacher and many other young preachers that you see, some of the opportunities of growing in the Lord as a young preacher is you depend so much on older preachers to help you out. Now, I don't need a preacher. Even whenever I first started, I don't need a preacher to tell me how to preach. Not that at all. But advice and direction that people will give you, I'm telling you, it's very important. Because that preacher is not going to tell you how to preach. That preacher is not going to give you the message to preach. That preacher is not going to do any of that. He's going to say what experience God has brought him through and how he's led him in different directions. And you, if you're smart enough, you listen to that and you mature as a young preacher so that if a situation comes up like this, you don't say, what could I have done more? This man heard from Paul and he didn't get saved. You see, it's different. If a lost man's trying to tell the story, it's different because there's no way he can convey the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God is how all of us got saved. Because we have to be convicted of our sins. We have to see ourselves lost before God's going to ever save us, because we're not going to cry out as long as we think nothing's wrong. We're not going to be a help. We're just going to be idly by going through in this world. But when that Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and he draws us, and whenever we yield to that, friend of mine, that's the reason why if a true preacher is preaching it, he will convey that same spirit just like the Paul conveyed that same spirit. And friend, if you reject it, it is on you and nobody else. It's the message. The message. So, ending this, can I tell folks that Jesus is alive? Can I do it? Can you do it as just as we what say in our church world, as a lay member, can I tell folks? Friend, if you've got spirit-led conviction about you, you can be just a newborn babe in Christ and you can tell folks about Jesus, because you've got the same spirit that lies within you, lies within a preacher like Paul. And there's nothing better
than to convey that spirit that God has put in all of us. The Bible says there's one God. And I won't take the time, but there's one spirit. And that same Holy Spirit of God will abide with us forever. Let's have a song, brother. Don't know your heart or your life? I know the Lord. The reason why we're here tonight is not because of me and you wanting to talk about something good. It's not a place to go just to have a social gathering. We could do that at the community center. This is a place where people can pass from death unto life. Yes, sir. This is a place when the Holy Spirit of God speaks. If you listen to it and yield to it, your life can be changed. This is not a do better, do good, try to help your neighbor out, pat them on the back. None of that. If we don't come here for the reason of worship Him, Spirit, and truth, what are we here for? I'm here to worship God. How about you? I love the Lord, but He loves me first. May we stand and sing a verse of the song. God speaking to you. You come tonight. Know Him and free pardon of sin. Would you come?